starting at verse 1. You have your Bibles, John chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm waiting on Sister Dorothy because I will be in trouble if I don't. We got time, Sister Dorothy. Oh, Sister Pearlie wanted to testify? Testify, Sister Pearlie. Did you change your mind? All right. Are you ready, Sister Dorothy? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Dropping down to verse 8. He was not that light, speaking of John, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the church said,
Amen.
Another variation of the Christmas story. This one from heaven's view. John, after reading, no doubt, the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke, took pen and, being moved upon by the Holy Ghost, set out to take Jesus back to where it all began, in the beginning. In the beginning. Far above all of our abilities to grasp the beginning. Because we know with God there was no beginning. So John was merely saying that if you want to know who was in the beginning, you will find that the Word was God. Because in Genesis 1, Moses wrote, in the beginning, God created. It is here the conflict of centuries has always raged around Jesus Christ. He is the mystery. He is that unknowable fact that every one of us feel, testify to, love, and cling to, but have a hard time describing. We've never seen him. We only know of him. We only know of him by the Word of God. He was unknown until he was manifested in the flesh. 5 minutes before he was born, there was nobody like him anywhere on this earth.
Right.
5 minutes after he was born, he became the first of many that was going to be changed into the likeness that only he could bear. Immortal, eternal. All of those facts hang on the ability of Jesus Christ. Though he was never completely understood, yet he came with the great intensity of revealing God to us. Knowing that truth was going to be revealed in the Son. Knowing that love was going to be revealed in the Son. Knowing that life and light was going to be revealed in the Son. He came with a mighty, mighty work. And that work was to manifest God in the flesh. Now it's easy to manifest God in the heavens. It's easy to manifest God in creation. But to bring a purity of God down into flesh. To bring the holiness of God down into flesh. And to hold that holiness and to hold that standard of purity, oh, he has to be something different than Adam. And he has to be something different than Isaiah. He has to be something different than Samuel. He has to be something different than Ezekiel. He is God. He is manifested in the flesh. Shall the flesh do to him what it had done to all other men? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that he revealed himself to a few men. God did. The prophets. Sometimes angels were brought to bear messages to men. But God was unknown until Jesus Christ came, walked in our midst, communed with us, sat down and ate with sinners, touched elbows with profane and wicked men, healed our sick, made our lame to leap for joy, our deaf to hear with tender melodies of his compassionate voice. He forgave those detected in the vilest sins, and everywhere and always lived on the highest plane of holiness. Every once in a while, I think we try to do it on a 30-day basis. These vents that you see up here are filters. If we let them go over 30 days, they begin to whistle because they suck enough dust out of this auditorium to fill them and clog them. So we have to change them. Jesus Christ came into the same kind of contamination. It was all around him. Yet he touched Mary Magdalene that had seven devils and never got any stain of sin. He touched lepers and never got one tint of sin. He helped the downcast. He came to those that were rejected. He breathed the sweetest spirit of compassion and mercy that man had ever had breathed on them. That is why the Bible says, and John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at him. He was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And John goes on and said, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. He will go on to say, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You see, my friends, when we think about Christmas, we're thinking about bringing something that is so pure into something that is so vile. Like a leaven, it is hid in the lump. And now the world around has this light beaming from the faces of individuals that Jesus has come into their heart and into their life, and they bear the Christian standard of holiness. We may not walk as carefully as Jesus, because he did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You see, Christmas just didn't end years ago, and it won't end come Monday morning. Christmas is every day for us, because we know we've received the free gift of God, forgiveness of our sins. And even if we fail, we don't want to, we don't mean to, but if we do slip, if we do wrong, if we do sin, we have someone at the right hand of God who is willing to reach down, lift us back up, and establish our goings again, and continue to cleanse us with his blood. See, the Christmas gift is all about getting us out of this world back to the Father. The Christmas gift of Christ coming is to bring light into a dark world. The word epiphany means God shone in. It means God brought a light into darkness. God brought comprehension to men who see the light. And the only reason why men do not come to light is because their deeds are evil, and they know that if they step into the light, it's going to manifest every one of their sins. Right. But here we come. irresistibly drawn by the Spirit of Christ, we knew He could build a universe. We knew that He could fling stars from His fingertips into the orbit. But we never dreamed that God would become a carpenter and fix a chair and make a table. We never dreamed He would fix windows in a poor man's hut. But that's exactly, the Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among men. Can I get an amen? Amen. We know and understand that God sits upon the throne of the universe, and angels and archangels bow in adoration at His feet. But it never occurred to us that He would sit down and eat a meal with a common man. We never understood that the sunburned fishermen, He would take the same fish that they eat, and He would eat with them and talk to them and laugh with them and tell them how to fish. God on a fishing expedition. But He proved He could fish. When Peter said, "We toiled all night and caught nothing," Jesus said, "Boys, I hate to get involved in this, but you know I'm a carpenter and you're a fisherman and you're not going to listen to me, but if you will listen to me, cast your net on the right side." And they said, "Well, nevertheless, but at your word," and at His word, they caught fish. Yeah. You see, we would think that God would just say, hey, I'm God, listen to me. No, He didn't force His opinion on anyone. Neither did He make them do it just because He had the power to do it. He Himself stayed under subjection to the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm talking about when I say that He commanded the mighty host of heaven? And all angels flew at lightning speed at His command. And all His look, and just with their look, He can make devils run. And all of this fearful power was never manifested any greater than when He sat down, reached out, and took a baby to His bosom and blessed it. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, He's a different God than most people know. If Jesus had not have come to our earth and lived with us here, we would have never thought that it would be possible for a man to get out of this world without sinning. If Jesus had not have come and lived with us in this world and manifested Himself in flesh, we would have believed the devil had power to destroy every man. But there was no guile found in Him. And neither was there a place for the devil. Amen. He met the devil and He overcame the devil. He met death and overcame death. He met ridicule and overcame it. And when men had done their vilest deed, nailed Him to a cross, hung Him between heaven and earth, and beat Him beyond recognition, and opened His back up with lash after lash, this Emmanuel looked up with swollen eyes and an aching body bent towards death and said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." If we would have never had Jesus on this earth, we would have never known that God cared so much for us. John 3:16 would have never meant that much to us. But now that we know God came, and God lived on our earth, and God suffered death for us, and God had all of the evil going at Him that a man could throw, from cussing to spitting to slapping to beating to temptations, and yet He overcomes them all right here on our earth. And then He promises that we shall be satisfied when we awake in His likeness. Faithful unto death, faithful pilgrim, watch your step. Watch where you go. There's a snare, there's a pit, there's a trap. But if you take Him by the hand and let Him take you by the hand, He can get you through the sinking sands of misery and bring you out on the other side. No wonder the psalmist David wrote long before Calvary, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the shout of our victory is not, I can do it. It's, thou art with me. The whole conclusion of the matter is, it's by grace. It's by the grace of God that I am what I am. It's by the help of God that I stand like I stand. It's by the help of God that I'm able to go on. It's by the help of God that I've overcome. Oh, if Jesus had not have come, but he did. And he didn't start in a palace. He chose poverty. So that we that are poor and are never expected to be rich, we who are without diamonds and rubies and gold and silver, we who eke out a living by the sweat of our brow, can look back at yon carpenter's shop and see a young man in his early 20s and his early 30s sweating, driving nails, pulling the old plane, using a saw that had no power, no 18 volts, no electrical plug. Everything that he done with these arms of his, these hands, these eyes. Amen. He was what we call a man's man. How will somebody help me preach? The Christ of the Gospels, the Christ of Bethlehem, of Nazareth, of Galilee, of Bethany, of Jerusalem, of Gethsemane, of Calvary, of Mount Olive, the Christ who lived and labored and hungered and suffered and loved and forgave, who died in tears and blood on the agony of the cross for a sinful race, arose triumphant over the dead. Hallelujah! Death could not hold him. Sin could not touch him. Rome had no power over him. Caiaphas could not keep him. Amen. Because he was Emmanuel. We can no more permit these people who only have a babe in the manger, and that's all they know. He did not stay in a manger. He did not stay in a carpenter shop. He did not stay on the cross. And neither did he stay in the grave. But he got up. And he went up like he came down. And one day he's coming back. We cannot let them rob us of the humanity of Jesus. For it's the only touchstone I have with God. To think that I have someone at his right hand who lived in the flesh, who fought devils like I fight, who had felt the weight of sin and bore it for the whole world. Amen. How can one man bear the sins of everybody? He has to be God. Right. How can one man get forgiveness of all that will call upon his name? He must be God. How can one man with his voice raise every dead in Christ that there is for generations? He must be God. And I tell you tonight, my precious people, we have God. And we have him in our heart. And we have him in our life. And we know God goes with us. And thank God for Christmas when Jesus came to introduce himself to us that we might be able to say, I know God. Hallelujah. We must keep our thoughts of worship in our hearts. We must never let them rob us of our worship. Amen. It's more than a glass of wine or a jug of whiskey. It's more than a pill. It's more than a candle burning. It's a real living Savior. And I want to sing, not just at Easter, but on Christmas, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides. The old song that says, you ask me how I know? I know because he lives in me. Hallelujah. Christmas is not just thoughts of theology. It's not just things that rob us of his humanity. We've just watched this world commercialize and almost afraid to celebrate. But I want to tell you, Rudolph can get lost on a foggy night because there never was a Rudolph.
Right.
Yeah. And Santa never did fit down some chimneys that I lived in that house.
Right.
He couldn't have, if he went on a quick diet, he'd never got down the chimneys of our house. We all of our life, we've seen this competitive, this conflict of the centuries rage around Jesus. Can Jesus overcome them? I want to tell you what the Bible says, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm just waiting, for His day will come. He is human and divine, a being who lived, walked, and talked with disciples, a human Christ who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He still can be touched. When you say, Jesus, I hurt, He don't laugh.
Right.
When you say, Jesus, my heart is broken, He does not laugh. Amen. He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Hallelujah. The divine Christ is able to save to the uttermost, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. He saved me in 1964, February the 2nd, 1964. I came out of the darkness into the light. Glory. What an eye-opening experience that was. What a wonderful day of transformation. The things that I hated, I found myself loving, and the things that I loved, I found myself hating. The places that I went, I didn't want to go anymore, and the places I wouldn't go, I found myself going. And there I found myself up on the platform of a little church singing hymns. Me? Singing hymns? Yes, and loving every minute of it. Couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but with everything I had, I was singing to His glory. Christmas had came, amen, on February the 2nd instead of December the 25th. Christmas came, for Christ came and went into my heart and changed me. Hallelujah! He will give you the best gift that everyone has wanted, but no one can claim. No one can give you life. Your mother brought you into this world, but death will take you out. But Jesus can give you life that you will never die. They may have your corpse up here, but they'll never have you in that grave. Jesus has come. Hallelujah! Jesus has come, and because He has come, we live. And because He lives, we live. Or somebody ought to shout amen, even if it is on Thursday night. We believe in Him. We worship Him. We pledge and consecrate our all to Him. It's a cry of a lost race. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And on Him was my sin. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Great is the mystery of godliness. The beautiful babe of Bethlehem, this wonderful youth of 12 years, this patient carpenter of Nazareth, this meek and lowly man followed by ignorant fishermen, receiving sinners and eating with them, this matchless preacher of truth, this majestic master of devils, disease and death, this man in bloody sweat in Gethsemane, this victim of human hate and mob violence, falling beneath the burden on Calvary's hillside, the white-faced, sinless Jesus hanging on the cross. Do you know who He is? He is God, manifested in the flesh. Do you ask what all this means? It means that the Good Shepherd of heaven has come to earth seeking His lost sheep. Do you know what this means? It means the redemption of sinners. It means that fallen men are to be born again and become in Christ new creatures. It means that the depraved and sinful are to become sanctified, and that strangers to the commonwealth of Israel are to become sons of God. It means that the devil possessed are to sit clothed and in the right mind at the Master's feet. It means this man of Galilee, this Jesus of Nazareth, this God manifest in the flesh to save a lost race, that sinful men are able to partake the divine nature, that demon-possessed on their way to hell are to become pure and holy beings and to walk in the righteousness through this earth and to ascend triumphant to heaven. Wondrous Christ, who can take a bomb and make Him a prince.
Thank God.
I know you've never been a bum. You don't know what a bum is. Well, we used to have them on J Street there in the little town of Bedford. A little old, mean, streaky little side street. Winos. Bad people. But there have been some men that testified in our holiness churches. They came from right there to the pulpits. Oh, it takes a Jesus to do that. From a bum to a prince. From a sinner to a saint. To ugly to beautified by the salvation of God. Hallelujah. To crooked to straight. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And all of that because he decided to come and lift humanity up out of a pit. If it had not have been for Jesus, we would not be seeing daylight. We would have still been in a darkness, blinded by the god of this world, walking toward the precipice of hell. But Jesus came and shined his lovely light in our pathway, made us to see where we were going, turned us around, saved our life, saved our soul, and gave us the hope of a better tomorrow. I want to tell you, hallelujah for Emmanuel, Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus belonged to no special race of men. He was a son of man. His own full brother of every man of every race. Hallelujah. I was amazed. I've listened to people talk in different dialects. And it amazes me. Their tongue is so foreign to me. I said with Brother Cote's friend, he spoke five languages and I had to confess. I said to him, I said, sir, I still struggle with English. He was a master of many languages. But Jesus is the master of all languages. You say, help me in any language, he knows it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And sometimes you can't even say, help me. It's just a moan and a groan. But he understands even moans and groans. There he is. He's a kinship with men, helps us to love and hope for all men. Because he loved me, I can tell you he loves you. Because he saved me, I can tell you he can save you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because he's walked with me, I know he'll walk with you. And that's what I want to talk to you about in closing. He belonged to no special age. I have a hard time bringing up 2,000 years. I have to go back. I can't bring those men, those characters of Peter, James, and John up and put them in a suit and a tie and put them on the 25th story building selling stocks and bonds. I must take that rough fisherman and put him on a boat. I must look at him. I must understand that he's capable of denying a man that loved him as much as Jesus. I am now convinced by the scriptures that under enough pressure, a man can even cuss and deny him. And yet I see a compassionate Lord looking at him. God taking one look at a sinner who had just cussed him, denied him, and was going to walk away from him. But before Jesus would lose that one man in the midst of a crowd of cussing, beating, spitting, slapping men, he fastened his eyes upon Peter, and Peter broke. Went out and wept bitterly, but came back to the fold. I think Christmas is just not one month out of the year. Abraham saw his day and was glad. Moses promised his coming. Micah tells that he was born in Bethlehem. David sang of him in the hundreds of Psalms. Isaiah declares him to be the humble person, his patient suffering, his cruel death, and his final triumph. The eternal God in the person of his Son. God off of the throne of the universe, came down into a wicked world, was born in a stable, lay in a manger, grew up in poverty, lived amidst hardships, labored with his hands, suffered for the necessities of life. After the day of toil, he had nowhere to lay his head. He conquered Satan. He overcame the prejudice of men. The wife of Pilate sent to Pilate a message, "Have nothing to do with this just man." Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Judas Issachar said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." The captain of the band who crucified him on the cross said, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." And today, I join with the thousands who say, "Thank God for Jesus Christ, who loved the world and gave himself for it. And loved me and washed me from my sins." Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Thank God for Christmas and all of the things that it means. But never forget, Christmas was the first step towards Calvary. Right. Calvary was where he was born to go. Oh, yes. Born to die. Right. And when you read of those few verses that those disciples did not elaborate on, just said he went a little further, fell face first, and prayed, "Not my will, thine be done." The reason that he couldn't get up and walk away and go up was because if he leaves before Calvary and before dying, he loses all of us. But thank God for Calvary, because he said, "And if I be lifted up," I don't want to put him on a Christmas tree. I don't want to put him on a Christmas stamp. I want to put him on the throne of my heart. I want to say, "Reign, Jesus. Reign on the throne of my heart till we get there to that great and glorious company of the redeemed and to that glorious country called heaven. And then reign forever, Lord Jesus. Reign forever." How many we remember on that busy Sunday that's coming that we ought to come back to his house and tell him, "Thank you for coming into a world that was going to destroy you. Thank you for coming even though you knew you were going to have to die. Thank you for loving me enough to endure it all, that I might stand and say, thank God I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, you should stand with me. I've done enough, I guess. Sister Sutherland, if you will, please. I have one more Christmas message. It's on Sunday morning. Starts at 11. A few songs and right into the Word of God. Get you back out of here so you can go eat Christmas dinner. Lay around a while and come back at 6 o'clock. We're going to tell our King we're waiting on him. Oh, looked like I may be by myself. Well, if I is, I just is. But I'll be here. There ain't nothing worth him. Do you hear me? I don't care what it is to eat. It can wait. I don't care what it is to open. It can wait. When he's looking down from that throne with nail prints in his hands, like a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's how they saw him in heaven. He's looking down on me who cannot say I have been scarred at all. Nobody's ever blacked my eye for love. No one's ever beaten my back that others might be healed. And I tell you, tomorrow I may need healing. I may need those gifts that he brought to earth and gave to men. And I don't think I deserve them if I don't love him enough to worship him. Coming Sunday morning to worship. Revival starts the following Monday night. These altars are open. Sister Myers must be